beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies.
Yes. Hallelujah.
As a living sacrifice. Holy. Acceptable unto God.
Yes.
Which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Hallelujah.
That you may prove what is both good and acceptable and perfect.
Hallelujah.
Will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace of the given to us, let us prophesy, let us prophesy according to the portion of the faith. Or ministry, let us wait on ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. And he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness.
Hallelujah.
Then if you would turn to the front of your Bible, to the book of Genesis, chapter 4. There in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. And said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she bare his brother Abel, and Abel was the keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass. That Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very angry. And he put his grouchy face on. And I want to preach for just a few moments this morning to you on this topic, leftovers. Lord Jesus, we are amazed again and thankful. It's a tremendous service. We are just getting filled to the very top. And I think we're about to overflow with the joy, the happiness that we have of being here together in this worship service. And we just pray that this word, oh God, would be planted in good soil, that it would bring forth an increase of fruits in our lives, and doing the right things. Things that would please you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. You may be seated. There's a little bit of overlap, I think, in what I want to say today and what is coming up. We're taking up an offering next week. We've been taking this up. This would be our, I think, third year maybe, or something like that, for our Food for Thought ministry. And God is doing tremendous things with the food ministry in our town, in our community. There's a great, great ministry that is rising up. I was talking to Mark Odell, and we'll probably be mentioning this tomorrow night, our Times of Refreshing Thanksgiving Community Service is tomorrow night, Monday night, at 6:30 p.m. at the First United Methodist Church. And I would encourage you to come and show support in the community for what God is doing. He was figuring that somewhere between we had brought in somewhere between 2.5 to 3 million dollars in food into Fairfield this year.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
And there was a meeting Friday night, thanks to all of our saints that were there, that community meeting put on by Mike from the Midwest Food Bank. And they would really like to see a full service food bank opened up in this area. And they have already opened up a partial service food bank, and they're wanting to expand that. And God is doing great things in the food ministry. I'm glad that our church is a part of it.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes.
I'm thankful for all of our volunteers that work tirelessly behind the scenes. All of those of you that are out in front, and everyone that's involved. And those of you that give to these offerings, it is a great benefit. I'm sure we've been able to do greater things in our community than we were able to do in the past. And we're making infrastructure changes, and we're just trying to make ourselves ready to do what God wants to do. Not what we can do, but what God can do. And so He's challenging us in that area. And I was thinking about that, and thinking about Thanksgiving, and thinking about the holiday coming up. And I was thinking about what to share with you today. And I was looking at the first fruits, and then lo and behold, our Sunday school lesson was on the subject of the Feast of Pentecost, which involves the Feast of First Fruits. And so today I want to talk to you about leftovers. The Bible says that Adam and Eve had two sons. And of course, when you read there in Genesis chapter 4, anyone with common sense will read that and know that in between verse 1 and verse 3 that a lot of time has passed. Eve has two boys, and then in verse 1 she has Cain, in verse 2 she has Abel, and then in verse 3 they're working. You don't get to be a farmer, you don't come out of mama and get to be a farmer the next verse. So time has passed. Matter of fact, when they have their third son, the Bible says that Adam is 130 years old. And so there are a lot of things going on in the background. One thing is obvious, and again, these are not things that are explicit in the Scripture, but they are there for those who have common sense to read. That even though God cast Adam and Eve out of the garden, and even though they lost that privileged place, God apparently was still communing with them and visiting with them. We're talking about the first man and woman and their first two boys. The Bible says that when Cain grew up, he followed in the footsteps of his father, and he became a farmer, and he was raising crops and such, and that Abel, the Bible says, became a shepherd, and he was raising animals for different purposes, obviously to eat, as well as to clothe the people, etc. As God had established a pattern for his father and mother when they sinned. And the Bible says that in the process of time, these boys became old enough to begin to talk to God for themselves, to begin to have a relationship with God for themselves. And so the both of them brought an offering to the Lord to show their appreciation and respect for Him. But something strange happens when they come and offer their sacrifices. The Bible said God liked Abel's sacrifice, but He didn't like Cain's. And as you read, and again, this is, you have to use common sense when you read the Bible. How many of you know that you don't put common sense to the side when you read the Bible?
Amen.
If there's anything that you can trust more than anything else when you're reading the Bible, it should be common sense if the Lord has gifted us with that. And so we read in there, and I'm not talking down to you today, but I'm saying that we don't need to make things more complex than what they are. And apparently, something was wrong with Cain's offering. But yet something was better or right about Abel's offering. And as we look into it, and there's been a lot of discussion and debate and theologizing about whether or not God could receive an offering from the ground, etc., because there was a curse on the ground at the time. And I'll tell you what, if you think there was a curse on the ground before before Cain made his offering, just read a little further in the scripture. And after, out of jealousy and hatred, he kills his brother. The Bible says that God said, "I am cursing the ground, Cain, and it will no longer yield its fruit." Why? What was God saying to saying to Cain when he said, I don't like your offering? What he was saying was, "I don't like your attitude." What he was saying was, "Cain, you brought to me the leftovers." But Abel over here, the Bible says, brought the first. He brought the first.
Thank you, Jesus.
"I don't like your attitude, Cain. You brought me the leftovers. I like what Abel did over here. He brought me the first. He brought me the best. He didn't come open to eat of himself. He didn't just enjoy himself. He brought the first to me." And so that tells me that these young men are just coming into their own. They're just coming into their trades and their careers that they're going to have in life, such as they had at that time. And the Bible says Cain brought fruits, but it doesn't say he brought the first fruits. And it says God was not pleased with his attitude or his offering, and he rejected both of them. There's something important to understand here. When we bring our offerings before the Lord, our offerings are a representation of who we are and how we feel about God. God doesn't need our offerings. God didn't need Abel's animals or their skins or their flesh to eat. God didn't need Cain's corn or grain or barley or whatever he brought, because God doesn't need anything or anybody, because he is completely sovereign and self-sufficient. But when we bring our offerings to God, God is determining, when our offerings come to him, what kind of attitude, how do I feel about God? I like what the Bible says when King Solomon built the temple for God, and he built this beautiful ornate edifice. And the Bible says that when he began to dedicate the temple, when he began to make sacrifices, the Bible says that there were thousands upon tens of thousands of sacrifices that he made. And they tried to figure out how much blood would have been shed from all of those animals. And it would have literally nearly been a river of blood that was shed. When he began to sacrifice and when he began to dedicate this house that he built for God, he did not withhold any expense. He did not withhold anything because he had such a deep respect for God, because he had such a deep understanding and gratitude for what God had given him, that when he made his sacrifices, he made a sacrifice that to that point it had never been heard of, and I don't know of ever since. So many animals were sacrificed in that dedication of that first temple.
Thank you, Jesus.
We bring a sacrifice that God approves.
Yes.
When we come to God with the right attitude,
amen,
we don't bring God the leftovers.
Right.
We don't come into the prayer closet and say, "Lord, well, I'm here again."
Right. Hallelujah. Yes.
Well, I wish you'd done better this week, but you did. But maybe you'll do better next week.
Hallelujah. Yes.
We wonder why we don't get a prayer answer from God. Because God rejects the leftovers.
Right. Amen. Hallelujah. First.
And when he rejected Cain, he gave him an opportunity to repent. He gave him an opportunity to get his heart right.
Right. Hallelujah.
He said, "I will accept you just like I did your brother, but you need to get your heart right."
Yes. Amen. Glory.
The Bible says Cain was angry. He went out and he killed his brother.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And not only did God reject him and reject his offering, but he cursed the ground for Cain, and he said, "It will never bear fruit for you again."
Right. Yes.
Because when God doesn't approve of our offerings, It almost makes you think, best not to bring one if I'm going to bring one with the wrong attitude. Because he wasn't going to ever be able to bring that offering ever again. What a terrible situation to find ourselves in. Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 through 14 in the New Living Translation. God, this is just a pattern that we see repeated time and again. It was repeated with the first two young men that were born to Adam and Eve. And it's a pattern that's still repeated today. It was a pattern that was repeated in the days of the nation of Israel when they were at their glory times. And over, God, when people come to God and bring their offerings and their sacrifices to Him, their praises and their tithes and their missions and their offerings and givings, whether it be to foreign missions, or whether it be to the Food for Thought ministry, or whether it be to the Jesus Well, or whether it be for the support of the ministry, or just to keep the lights turned on, God is looking on our hearts to see what is inside of there. God is looking upon what we bring to Him to determine whether or not that we really appreciate, amen, what He is doing in our lives. The Bible says when Jesus was here and they were standing in the second temple that had been built after the first one was destroyed. And the Bible says Him and the disciples were standing there by the treasury boxes. And there the Bible says people were coming and bringing in money. And there were very wealthy people coming in. They had big old sacks of money and they were jingling them around and letting everybody know how much I'm giving today. You know, one of those little deals where you accidentally let it, you know, slap up against your side when you walk in. Oh, what's that sound? How many of you know what the sound of coins jingling sounds like? They were bringing in their baskets and they were bringing in their large sums of money. And the Bible says that Jesus and the disciples of Jesus were talking, they were watching. The Bible says a widow woman came and she put in two mites, which is probably worth about a half a penny today. And she slipped in, put her two mites in the treasury box, and she slipped out. And Jesus stopped. And He said, "Did you see that?" And they said, "Did we see what? Did you see what that woman gave?" She gave such a little amount of money. She was such an insignificant person that the disciples didn't even notice her go by. But Jesus stopped and He said, "Did you see that?" And this is what Jesus had to say. She gave more than anybody that has walked by the treasury box all day long today. She gave the most. Because she didn't give the leftovers, but she gave all she had. She didn't have much, but she let it go and she gave it to the work of the treasury. And Jesus was amazed and impressed. And if, as you were, it would have been one of those sacrifices. What does it say about Abel in Hebrews chapter 11? It says, "He offered by faith a more excellent sacrifice to the Lord." God is judging and determining not how much money you put in, but He's measuring the generosity of your heart. God is not measuring how big an envelope you get at the end of the year that says what you gave that you can put on your tax return and try to get your taxes lower. What God is measuring and what God is determining today, when we give and when we offer ourselves to Him, what He is determining is how much do we appreciate what He gave? How much do we appreciate what He done? Amen. Because the Bible says that He didn't give us the leftovers, but He so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son to die on Calvary. God didn't give us the leftovers, but He gave us His best. And when we come to the kingdom of God, we come to the grave. My sacrifice. Right. How much do you appreciate what I've done and what I'm doing for you? How much do you appreciate the future that I have planned for you? When you come in and you show off and you just bring God the leftovers and look what I've got, look at all I've got. But when you come and you say, "God, I don't have much. And God, really, when I give this to you, I'm not going to have anything left. But this is what I want to give, this because I want to give something back to you." I was a king, they say, that was building a church, and And that he was so proud. He didn't want anybody to be a part of the building of it. He wanted to build it all himself. He wanted to pay every last penny in dying himself. And he wanted to have his name on the pillar of that church. And he wanted everybody to know what he did for God. And the story goes, while he was asleep of the evening, it says that he had a dream. And in the middle of his dream, he saw his name on the headstone of the church. And he saw it erased. And he saw the name of a little widow woman put on in the headstone in his place. And he woke up the next morning and he started acquiring, and he found this widow woman and he pulled her in. He said, "What have you done?" I said, "Nobody is to give to this building of this church edifice, because it's my glory to receive alone." She said, "What have you done?" And she said, "Well," she said, "I know that we are not allowed to give anything. We know that you want to do it all yourself." But she said, "I love God so much, and I wanted to show him my appreciation." She said, "I gave a little bit of hay to the horses, Brother Kevin." And so the story goes on that the man, the king, was amazed, and he was humbled by that. And it goes, the story goes on, it says he put his name and her name on the headstone or on the cornerstone of that church building. And he was impressed by that woman, that little widow woman that wanted to do something so bad. And she didn't have to give in the offering. She didn't have to have her name written anywhere. But even if she could just give a little feed to the horses that were pulling the stones to build that church, that she would feel like that she gave something to give glory and praise to let God know how much she appreciates what he has done.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I want to ask you something this morning. How much do you appreciate what God has done for you by giving his son, amen, as a blood sacrifice for our sins? How much, amen, do you appreciate what God has done for you by saying, "You can have my Holy Spirit living inside of you. I will let you know my mind. I will let you feel my heart. And I will let you be used in my power by my name." How much do you appreciate, amen, what God did on Pentecost when he poured out the Spirit? How much do you appreciate what God did for you when he filled you with the Holy Ghost in an altar of repentance? Amen. Or have you set something aside, the very first of the fruits? Have you set some things aside and said, "This is for God. This is for me to show him how much I appreciate him"? I don't know about you, amen, but I don't want to make it to heaven and find out that God said, "You're just bringing me the leftovers," and say, "I'm rejecting you,
Lord Jesus."
All right, because you just bring me the leftovers. And Cain didn't just, wasn't just disapproved. He didn't just get his sacrifice rejected, but he lost everything that God was giving to him. And he became a reject and a wanderer in the earth. In Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, "The Lord of heaven's armies says to the priest, 'A son honors his father, and a servant respects his master. If I am your father and master, where are the honor and respect I deserve? You have shown contempt for my name.' But you ask, 'How have we shown contempt for your name?' He said, 'You have shown contempt by offering defiled sacrifices on my altar.' And then you ask, 'How have we defiled the sacrifices?' And then he says, 'You defile them by saying the altar of the Lord deserves no respect. When you give blind animals as sacrifices.' Isn't that wrong? And isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased? Try giving gifts like that to your governor and see how pleased he is,"
right,
says the Lord of heaven's armies. And I like the way that New Living Translation says, "The Lord of heaven's armies."
Glory. That's right.
He's saying, "Bless God, if not out of respect, you better offer me the best out of fear, because I'm the Lord of heaven's armies."
Yes. Glory.
I have established you, and I have given you the breath of life.
Yes, yes.
And I am your defense. I am your shield. I am your great reward.
Israel, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Woo. Right.
Come on. Now, Solomon offered those great sacrifices,
right,
and the Lord came to him. And he said, and the Bible says, while he was making sacrifices, that God was so pleased with his sacrifice that the glory and the presence of God came down upon that temple, and it filled the whole entire building, and none of the priests were able to continue making sacrifices, and they were all on their faces in the presence of God. That's what happens when God is pleased. That's what happens when we don't bring God the leftovers. That's what happens when we bring God the best that we have. And then he even came to him in a dream in the night, and as if that wasn't enough. And he prayed a prayer, a great prayer, and that said, God, if your people disobey you and they're cast away by you from this land, that wherever they are, wherever they find themselves, whenever that they come to themselves as a prodigal did, and they turn their faces towards Jerusalem, and they pray. And he said, when my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, I will heal, I will hear their prayer, I will heal their land, I will forgive their sin. My eyes will be open and my ears will be attentive to the prayers that are prayed in this. Why? Because he was pleased with the sacrifice of Solomon.
Hallelujah.
And on top of that, in the middle of the night, he came to him in a dream. He said, I'm going to answer your prayers. I'm going to bless this place. And even though I tear it to the ground, it'll still be here in name and spirit. And anywhere in the earth where people call upon my name, I will hear them, Solomon, because you gave me the best sacrifices that you could.
Amen.
And he came to him in a dream that night, and the Bible says that God spoke to him in a dream and said, what do you want?
Yes.
Woo.
Glory.
How many of you got some things you want?
Amen.
How many of you got some things that, as far as you know, your prayer is not selfish, it's not for you. I don't want to win the lottery, I don't want to be a millionaire, but I want my child to be saved.
Yes, hallelujah.
I want my neighbor. You've got some unselfish requests. You've got some sincere desires. How many of you like to have God answer your prayers? I'm telling you here this morning, there's a path that you can take to bring your sacrifice to God, and he will not only hear, and he will not only answer, but he will go far and beyond what you can ask or even think, the Bible says.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He granted Solomon's request. He requested great wisdom to know how to do his job right, to be king over those people. And God said, not only did I like your sacrifice the other day, and not only did I answer all your prayers and fill that temple with my presence, but I like what you asked for, and you just keep amazing me. And so, Solomon, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep amazing you. I'm going to give you more wisdom than anybody on the earth has ever had or ever will have, of course, other than God himself. Amen. And he said, not only that, since you didn't ask me to give you a help,
right. Amen.
I'm going to give you health and let you live a long life.
Praise the Lord.
You didn't ask me to make you rich, but I'm going to go ahead and make you richest beyond your wildest imagination.
Hallelujah.
And you didn't ask me to go in and reap vengeance and judgments and revenge on your enemies, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to bring your enemies down before you as well.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Bring the leftovers to God. And not only will he reject them, and will he reject you, and not only will he turn you away, but he will take everything that he would have promised and blessed in the future away from you. But my God, I wish somebody could get a hold of this. If you would bring the best that you have, if you would bring the first fruits of what God is doing, if you would come to him with a sincere heart, it may not be a lot, it may only be a half a cent worth, but if you'll bring it to God and say, God, I don't have much, and I just want to do something.
Jesus
healed 10 lepers, and they all went their way shouting and happy, and 9 lepers went on about their business and never thought about Jesus again. But one of the lepers came back, and he fell down at the feet of Jesus, and he worshipped him. And the Bible says that man was not only healed of his leprosy, but Jesus said, now you are whole.
Hallelujah.
He changed things in that man that were not changed in the other 9 lepers. Why? Because he returned and gave thanks and showed his gratitude.
Hallelujah.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's right. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful. Thank you. Woo.
Hallelujah. Go ahead, he said in verse 9. Beg God to be merciful to you. But when you bring that kind of an offering, why should he show you any favor at all? Ask the Lord of heaven's armies. Verse 10, how I wish one of you would shut the temple doors so that these worthless sacrifices could not be offered. I'm not pleased with you, says the Lord of heaven's armies, and I will not accept your offerings. But my name is honored.
Praise the Lord. Yes, amen.
I don't need your offerings.
Right.
I don't need your temple.
No, yes.
Because my name will be honored.
Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah.
And he goes on. but my name is honored by people of other nations from morning till night.
Yes.
Woo! Lord.
Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Preach out, brother. Hallelujah.
Woo!
All around the world, they offer sweet incense and pure offerings in honor of my name. For my name is great among the nations, says the Lord of heaven's armies.
Yeah.
That's a powerful word right there. Yeah, there were some Dariuses out there. Kings of Medes and Persians. Oh, yes. There were some Babylonian Nebuchadnezzars out there.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. There were some Cyruses out there. There were some pagan kings that worship pagan gods. But they recognized that there's a God above all the gods that we worship. And He is the God of the nation of Israel. And they worshiped Him and honored Him even years and decades and hundreds of years after the fact. According to the word of the Lord, they were still honoring that God that worked those miracles.
That's right. Amen.
Thank you.
Those people are called by His name. He said, but you dishonor my name with your actions by bringing contemptible food. You are saying it's all right to defile the Lord's table. You say it's too hard to serve the Lord. And you turn up your noses at my commands. Says the Lord of heaven's armies. Think of it. Animals that are stolen and crippled and sick are being presented as offered. Should I accept from you such offerings as these? Asked the Lord. Cursed is the cheat who promised to give a fine ram from his flock, but then sacrifices a defective one to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord of heaven's armies, and my name is feared among the nations.
Yes.
What God wants from us is He wants the best.
Yes.
I like what Paul said to the Roman church. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, hallelujah, under the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. You see, in Genesis, it didn't say God accepted Abel's sacrifice and He rejected Cain's sacrifice. It says he accepted Abel and his sacrifice.
Right. And
He accepted Abel and his sacrifice.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Matthew 23:23, Jesus is talking. The Pharisees said, you tithe the mint and anise and cumin, but omit the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. And you come and you give me 10% of all manner of herbs which are not mandated for the tithe of Moses. But it says in Micah 6:8, but they said, what does the Lord require you to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God? But you are making a mockery, you are making a joke, and you are bringing what you think is the best of the best, but your heart is not where it needs to be. And because I've rejected you, I've rejected your sacrifices as well. And Jesus went on and said in Matthew 23, you strain at a gnat, which is an unclean insect, for fear of drinking a mosquito. How many of you know how small a banana is?
Yes, they're really small.
They would strain out their water and strain out their wine just in case there might be a bug on the bottom. But He said, then you turn around and you swallow a camel, which is also an unclean animal. He said, you're trying to be all picky and perfect over here. You're trying to look all a certain way. You're like a white sepulchre on the outside, but on the inside, you are full of dead men's bones. And all you're bringing me is the leftovers. You've been out, and you've been immoral, and you've cheated, and you've lied, and you've done all of these things that are against my commands, and you filled yourself up on the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and then you come to my house with a sacrifice.
Hallelujah.
All you're doing is bringing me the leftovers, but God is looking for the first fruits.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah.
God is looking for only the best.
Right. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And the Bible says He accepted Abel and his offering. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1-3. Paul, and I'm getting ready to close here in a few minutes. Paul is talking to the church in Corinth because they had made a promise, they had made a pledge. And they said, we're going to help you out, Paul, in your ministry. And it says that Corinth was a very wealthy city. Some say that it may have been the banking center in that area. Very wealthy church, very blessed church. You know how much they give it to the food for thought offering? Nothing. We need to send them a letter, don't we? Oh, we'll get to it. You know. And this is what Paul had to say to them. And now, brothers and sisters in the NIV, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. These churches in Macedonia are poverty-stricken,
right?
They are experiencing a tremendous persecution and trial. And they have given an amazing, generous donation to the ministry of the gospel. And he says in verse 3, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. And they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. And listen to this. They gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord. And then, by the will of God, also to us. They gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord. And then they gave their offering to us.
Yes.
God is looking for, amen, a sacrifice to be given to Him. God is looking for our offerings. And in them, He is looking for the condition of gratefulness in our heart. And he goes on, he says, so we urge Titus, just as he had early made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. Here, the Macedonian churches are suffering persecution, their businesses are being shut down, and they're poverty-stricken, they barely have enough to get by, and they put together, because God laid on their hearts to give an offering, and here you are, you're living in wealth, and not only are you living in wealth, you're not being persecuted, but the gifts of the Spirit are operating in your church to an unprecedented level that these Macedonian churches are not experiencing the move of the Holy Ghost like you are either. They're under arrest in every way, not just financially, not just socially, but even spiritually. But in the middle of their spiritual poverty, in the middle of their physical and monetary poverty, something stirred inside of them. And they said, we've got to show God how appreciative we are that He sent His Son to die for us on Calvary. And we have put together an offering for your ministry. And here you are, Corinthian church, and you're blessed in all of these ways. But where is your appreciation? Where is your respect? Where is your gratitude? You're giving God the leftovers, and He's giving you the best of what He has. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 and 16 in the NASB, it says, through Him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips that give thanks to His name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Stand together with me if you would. Paul writing back to the church of Macedonia, Philippi, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. And this is what he had to say to them about what they gave. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent. A fragrant aroma. Everybody say, it smells good.
It smells good.
An acceptable sacrifice.
Yes, amen.
Well pleasing to God. Let's close our eyes together right now. I wasn't really wanting to end this on a negative note. But the Lord redirected me during the worship to read that scripture in Romans chapter 12. And I just want to encourage you today in the Lord to look into your heart. Have you been giving God second best? Have you been giving God leftovers? Well, I don't have time. That church service on Sunday is so long. Somebody said lobster tastes good, but we don't want to eat it twice a day. Well, we're not eating lobster twice a day. This is fancy cheesecake with raspberries swirled in it and chocolate on the top. Or, if you're into that sort of thing, it's some tasty celery with some organic peanut butter.
Ooh, yeah.
This is the dessert part of the service. I like how some of you just show up for the dessert. We've been having a good time in our Bible class, haven't we?
Yeah. Hallelujah.
We're having a good time in our Bible class.